The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's a piece I hope you enjoy from my cigar-smoking friend, Dennis Prager.
I have on the line one of the great experts in American politics, John Fund. John Fund is National Affairs Columnist for National Review Online, Senior Editor at the American Spectator. So, John, how should my many listeners who are Republican react to yesterday?
Probably with a sigh of relief. It could have been a whole lot worse, given what the polls have been showing for months. And the incredible amount of money that was spent in this election. I think the most interesting dog that didn't bark, to quote the Sherlock Holmes story, was, do you realize, Dennis, this was the first election in our memory that the media didn't complain about too much money being spent on politics?
What a great point, John.
Because it all came from media billionaires like Michael Bloomberg.
Right. So, by the way, with regard to that, and for that matter, the last election 2 years ago, do we overestimate the importance of money in elections?
Yes, because there's so many ads in races where the most money is spent, a lot of people just tune it out. In other words, they reach a saturation point, and they simply say, all these ads are just lying. I'm not going to spend the time figuring out which one is which.
Yes, which seemed to suggest that. I mean, the Steyer money, the Bloomberg money that went into it, the wealthy class, is there anybody that you could name? Who in the wealthy class? I mean, there's the Koch brothers, I understand. But the wealthy class seems to be overwhelmingly Democrat. Is that fair to say?
The wealthy class that has the money that they're willing to spend because they know they're not going to get social opprobrium, social criticism from
right,
it.
Right.
The reason why the Koch brothers are pretty much off to their own, along with Sheldon Adelson, is that most, first of all, public companies would never do that. Private billionaires will do that, and because they favor climate change, regulation, and because they favor abortion, they favor, you know, drug legalization and prison reform and all of these other things, they know they're not going to be criticized in the media. But if a conservative steps forward, they're running into a machine gun fire nest. And I think there are a lot of people who are simply, you know, I have my money. I'm going to spend it to try to save my country, but I'm going to be criticized as being some kind of a monster? No, thank you. The left media millionaires, with the exception of being attacked by people on the radio, I mean, they're not going to be criticized mainstream media for this.
That's right. So in light of all of that, you said it could have been a lot worse. So give us a plausible, not an apocalyptic, a plausible worse scenario.
Well, that the Democrats had not engaged in that ridiculous, absurd, frightening Brett Kavanaugh mugging. If they had not done that, I think we could have seen Senate seats lost, like in Arizona, which was very, very close, like in Florida, which was very, very close. That would have brought the Republicans down to 51 or 50 seats even, maybe even more. Maybe there could have been another loss somewhere else. So I think that was a bullet escape. The House, if you look at the very, very closest races, the Republicans probably are leading in two out of three of the most close races. You know, that's luck of the draw. Governors, there were some governors who survived that very, very tight races, such as Georgia, Florida, Iowa. Those were largely fought, I think, on local issues. more, a little bit more than on the congressional front. If Republicans had lost Florida, which is the nation's third largest state, it would have been a catastrophe, but they didn't.
Well, that's interesting. So here, this is, I don't know if you could even answer it, but you're the guy I would like to ask this of. Do you think there are five or three or one Democratic senator who says to his or her spouse, maybe we shouldn't have humiliated Kavanaugh?
Well, I have talked to Republican senators who have had that conversation with some Democrats in the cloakroom or off campus. And yes, they know what they did was wrong, but who's going to admit it? And anyone who would admit it would be completely ostracized and drummed out of the Democratic caucus.
It could have been a lot worse for Republicans. Totally agree with you on that. The president made a point that I'd like you to react to. I thought it was an intelligent point. If the Republicans had retained the House by a margin of 3, 4, 5 votes, you would never get unanimity anyway, so that actually could have hurt the Republican Party. Any a reaction to that?
Well, you could always put a silver lining on everything, and that is a plausible argument. However, the fact of the matter is the Democratic subpoena power, the Democratic investigations, the headline-seizing stunts that they will pull are not going to help the country. Now, maybe they will decide to actually work with the president on an infrastructure bill. Maybe they will work with the president on repairing small parts of Obamacare, but I doubt it. I think that the Democratic base is so angry, so embittered, and so many of the new Democrats coming in are left-wingers, that they're going to go immediately into confrontation mode. And, of course, the president, with his personality, will meet them immediately with twice the firepower. So I don't think it really mattered that much, but I do think that the Democrats, since nothing was going to be done, I would have preferred that the Republicans kept the subpoena and the investigative power.
Right. Okay. That's a very fair analysis. So that's what I said from the beginning. The election is, all things put in perspective, not at all bad, and in some ways not bad, but in some ways, actually a positive for the president, given that for 2 years, the press has simply attacked and attacked and attacked every single day since the election. So let's talk about the subpoena power. What? So do you even know? I don't understand. How do you subpoena the president's tax records from before entering the presidency? On what grounds?
Well, you don't. So you're just basically trying to throw red meat to your liberal base. The subpoena power is valuable when you're going after members of the cabinet who won't turn over documents that are normally considered sensitive or part of the policy decision-making process. So it's not so much that the president is going to be plastered with subpoenas that he has to answer, but you know, government at the executive branch level, you know, everyone who's trying to reform a regulation, issue a new rule, subpoenas will be basically monkey wrenches thrown in front of their path trying to slow them down. In other words, it will be against the effective functioning of the executive branch because the Democrats want to stop everything that Trump is doing.
Right. So does the Senate have the ability to do the same thing?
It always has, and they did for a time during some of the Obama years. You saw the Republican House and the Republican Senate occasionally go after, you know, Eric Holder on the Fast and Furious scandal and some other scandals in the Obama administration. They didn't get a lot of attention, of course, because the media chose not to cover them. So I think a lot of this is just posturing. Don't believe that there's going to be legislative compromise here. They're going to have to work on a few things. They have to get a budget passed, maybe the infrastructure bill. But otherwise, all of this is positioning for 2020. A dress rehearsal for the 2020 presidential election.
Right. So looking at 2020, I have not spoken about 2020 once to my listeners. Now we can begin to legitimately. Did yesterday put the president in a worse position, a better position, or not a big switch?
I think the president has got to decide whether or not he wants to change course at all. Obviously, in his press conference today, he was as confrontational and spirited as ever. But on the other hand, we now have evidence, the elections, that his style really does rub some people the wrong way, especially women in suburban districts. And I think the president, or in fact even said, you know, the one thing I might regret from this last campaign is that occasionally I might have not used the right tone. Well, the president is going to have to calculate, you know, how much does he want to play King Kong and how much does he want to play, you know, the guy who loves to show people around his hotels and is very gracious and can be very accommodating. As we know, the president is often extremely friendly and approachable in private and often a complete beast in public. He can switch it on, he can switch it off. I think the president is going to have to decide in presenting himself to the American people, am I going to be the same candidate I was in 2016 and in 2018, or am I going to make some adjustments?
All right, let's say that he made some adjustments, but not dramatically, and I'm not sure it matters. The press would hate him if the man sounded like Jeremiah and Isaiah and St. Paul rolled into one. So,
but the media are not the people who vote. And I think ultimately we do have to recognize, Dennis, the suburban districts turned against Republicans in part because the exit polls show Trump rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Now, maybe that's necessary. Maybe you have to break some eggs to make an omelet. But Trump did cost votes in the suburbs. He gained votes elsewhere, but he did cost votes in the suburbs. We have a Democratic House for that reason.
You think had his tone been congenial, the Republicans would have retained the House?
No. What I'm saying is it is certainly a contributing factor. And we can see that in some of, I mean, you don't lose Charleston, South Carolina. You don't lose Oklahoma City. You don't lose deep-dyed Republican seats that haven't gone Democratic in 50 years because the economy is bad or because the Republican candidate was weak. These were very strong Republican candidates. The female suburban vote turned against the Republicans, and the exit polls show that opposition to Trump was a large part of that. Do I think he could have reversed it? No.
John Fund, you do believe that in some cases, truly traditional Republican districts where there is a loss, and suburban women voting who otherwise, I'm assuming you're saying, otherwise would have voted Republican, voted Democrat because they're annoyed with the tone. Is that a fair summary of your view of that?
Well, I would say more than annoyed. I did a lot of reporting, and believe me, I met a lot of those people. And it's not just the tone. It's the fact that, look, Everyone tells untruths in politics, but, you know, for some Republican suburbanites, refined types, the president's lies are just hard to take. And, of course, they know the media lies, too, but they're hard to take, and they don't like it, and they express themselves on that basis. Otherwise, you can't really explain the losses in some districts, like I mentioned. Oklahoma City, Charleston, South Carolina, these are not places Republicans lose normally. And there are many explanations, but these were not districts where Republicans had bad candidates. So the president himself just said, I would love to have a boring, flat tone. Well, the president has a chance now to recalibrate. And I hope he recalibrates because for the next 2 years, he has a chance to reintroduce himself to people and let the Democrats hang themselves. Let the Democrats be the more uncivil party.
Oh, it sounds great. I hope you're right. I have such a low view of the Democrats and of the media that I think the president's tone is, and I'm not, I'm a, look, my 35-year career has been civil tone. So I obviously think it could be effective, but the hatred of conservatives. Look, Vice President Pence is hated more than Donald Trump. So I don't know if it would matter that much. I hope you're right. I hope it does matter.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I do find in the exit polls. The reason why Donald Trump won in part in 2016 was there was about 20% of the voters who hated both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And he got about 60% of them because they decided the devil we don't know rather the devil we know in the form of Hillary.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Your freedom is under attack, but if you act now, you can protect not only your family, but generations to come. Go to townhallreview.com, and to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's townhallreview.com. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.